Alright. Last week we spoke about some of the questions of separating dairy and meat, and specifically we spoke about some of the things related to bread, leftover bread from one meal to the next. We spoke a little bit about separating, having dairy bread with dairy ingredients or meat ingredients. Hello. Yeah.
Yosef said that he brought for you that he put stuff on the shish.
So we had the whole question about having dairy ingredients and meat ingredients in the bread. And the last thing we spoke about again was the question of the bread left over at a meal. We said that bread from a meat meal you can't use again at a dairy meal. So just a couple other points related to that. Number one, there's a question, there's a big machlokas about what happens if you have other foods. Okay, and let's say not bread. Let's say you have leftover salad is a good example, or something like that, which was eaten at your meat meal, and then you want to serve it again at your dairy meal, but it's not bread. The question is, are you allowed to do that? Is that included or not? So that's a machlokas. It seems like many folks can hold that you're allowed to. And they only, Chazal only talked about bread because bread is like a mainstay, this is the mainstay of the meal, but other things are not included. And there are some that are more machmir, they say, well, you know, really, it should be the same thing if we're afraid that your bread is going to get dirty because it was at your meat meal, so then maybe, you know, something else also would be the same thing. So at the end of the day, I think there's, you know, there's different opinions. There's room to say that you'd be allowed to. But if you see that it's getting dirty, meaning you see that, let's say, your salad or something else that's sitting at your table. Then there might be room to machmir. Together with that, there's another discussion also about having separate, so the question is separate silverware and separate things for dairy and meat in general. Okay, not just leftovers, but separate things. So this also is not in the sheets there. But here, so we know that we have, that our customers have separate, you know, separate plates and separate silverware and things like that. So that's already in the Shulchan Aruch, actually. And the Shulchan Aruch actually says that they're supposed to have dishes for dairy and dishes for meat. The case of the Shulchan Aruch is, where did it go here? Actually, I'm sorry, he's talking about tablecloths. I'll take it back. We'll get back to the tablecloths in just a second. The Ramah is the one who says that you have, everybody has two sets of knives. He's talking about knives, but it's the same thing for all silverware and for plates also. Okay, he says the custom is to have shnei sakim, two knives, and, you know, one for meat and one for dairy, and to write on each one what it is. Okay, so that's the basis for our custom today, that we have separate sets of dishes. If, you know, you don't write which one is which, but it's clear, maybe they look different, or a different color, or, you know, whatever it is, that you are able to identify the difference. So that's what it's based on. And a lot of the Achronim say basically the same thing, that you have to, you know, make sure that this is clear, but that's what, you know, it's based on, that you have to have, make sure to identify which one is which, so you don't have mix-ups. Some of the Achronim also talk about this question, basically when it comes to other, not foods, but other, I don't know what to call it exactly. The example that they give is let's say salt shakers, okay?
What?
So,
chicken?
Yeah, so I mean, the question is like this, like other things that have served condiments, let's say a salt shaker, or today maybe you talk even about a ketchup bottle or something like that, or a can of hummus, can you use these same things at meat meals and also at dairy meals? So the concern is that maybe you're going to get mixed, not you're going to get mixed up, and maybe some of your food at your meat meal is going to get into the salt shaker or into the ketchup or into the hummus, something like that, and then you're going to end up eating it with your dairy meal. That's the concern. So, in some of the Achronim, they write, the Taz and the Marshal, and there's a few different opinions about this. Some say that you're really supposed to have two types of salt shakers because, I'll read you what he says here. He says in the Marshal writes that they have kelim asuyim melach, the salt shakers, echal lebasar vechal lechalav, one for meat, one for dairy. So if amim esoch asudas shiadav meluchachos, sometimes in the middle of your meal, when your hands are dirty, mina basar, from meat, lokeach sham melach ve'hakach yikach l'chalav. Okay, so you're going to use it for meat, and then, okay, later, your hands are dirty, then a different meal, you're going to want to use it for dairy, and now it has meat stuff in it.
The problem is, I mean, the question is that, let's say you ate like butter.
Right.
And you touch the thing, then you eat something fleshy. So even if you touch and
right.
you get a few, you know, a little bit of
right. I guess the assumption
is
right.
It's not even, it's a bit would be,
right.
But time or...
Yes, it could be. The question is whether with chachila we want to try to make precautions that prevent that from happening. I mean, with the Yevet, it could be that you're right. If there's a small amount, we haven't learned that yet, but we know, right, there's bittul. You know, there's such concepts that it might be nullified. But the question is, l'charchila, are you supposed to have certain boundaries that make sure that you don't get to that point in the first place? So that's what a lot of them write. The question is, today, you know, you could argue, you know, that maybe today we're dealing, it depends on what you're dealing with, okay? So let's say for a salt shaker, that already today, not everybody has separate salt shakers. And they point out that basically in those days, the Keter Shulchan Aruch writes this, and not the original Keter Shulchan Aruch, there's another Keter Shulchan Aruch, Basar V'Challah, who's written like in the past 100 years by, I think, a guy from Lakewood. I think it's from Lakewood. So they write basically that in those days, the salt shakers they were talking about was probably like a container of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, today when you talk about a salt shaker, it's got a top. So it's got a top, and you just open it up, a little, you know, they have little holes in it, where little pieces of salt come out. It could be that you don't have to be as worried about the meat and the dairy problem, because the holes are so small, there's not so much of a concern that maybe meat or dairy is going to get inside.
Okay.
That's what they say. So based on that, it could be today that salt shakers wouldn't be a problem. One could argue based on that also that maybe, you know, bottles of ketchup or things like that squirt out, so that also might be fine, because again, you know, the concern of actually getting meat and dairy inside is not as big. Maybe you'll get a little bit stuck on the top, on the outside, but that already you can see, you can wash off, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, that's not so bad. You know, the question, I guess, would be like, let's say a container of chul or something like that. If you take it out, you know, put it on the table and it's open and people are using it back and forth, that already one could argue that maybe that is better to have two. Now, not everybody has two, and it's not clear that you have to have two, but at least you could see the logic why it might be a good idea. So that already there's different opinion, you know, different customs about that. That could really either way, you sort of have to see. You know, whether that's really what they had in mind with the salt shakers, it could be. And even there, it's not clear that you have to do it. They were saying that the custom in many places was to have the two salt shakers. It's appropriate to do it. It's not absolute. The other thing here they talk about, the Aruch HaShulchan is the first, I think, I don't know if he's the first one, he's one of the first ones to talk about the idea of parva. Okay, meaning parva wasn't something that they always had. Okay, but the Aruch HaShulchan basically says that some people had, you know, three sets of knives. They had one set of knives for meat, one set of knives for dairy, and then they had a third knife, which was for things that were not meat and not dairy, which is what we call parva. What?
Say for presta.
Right, okay. That's right, you have a little more. Right. You could have lots of sets of dishes, right? So he says that the Aruch HaShulchan says that's a lot of people have that. You know, some people are careful to have three sets of knives. And then he says, you write just which one is which. He says that if you only have one knife, which is not true today, but in those days maybe people only had one knife, he says you can cut bread with both meat and dairy with the one knife. He says just make sure that it's wiped off, that it's clean. Okay, it's interesting. Again, today we don't usually have to worry about that. Today we have enough dishes to go around. That's not a problem. But let's say you had something like very unique, like a very sharp, very, very strong, sharp knife that's mainly used for bread or something like that. So you could argue based on the Aruch HaShulchan that if you needed to, if you only had one, then maybe you could use it for both if it's cleaned off well. But we try today to have, you know, multiple things for both, if possible. Okay, so that's that. And the last thing is in terms of tablecloths. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to eat dairy on a tablecloth that you had meat on, okay, and vice versa. So it sounds like from there that you're supposed to have separate tablecloths, which makes sense. We already spoke about it a little bit. The question is, could you have used the same tablecloth for meat and for dairy? And the Shulchan Aruch seems to say no, but there's two interesting points. Okay, number one, some people say that may only be true if you eat directly on the tablecloth. But what happens if you use plates? Maybe that'd be different, because you're eating on a plate, you're not eating directly on the tablecloth. It's nice to have two tablecloths, but do you really need to? Maybe not. Again, the custom today, we usually do anyway, but just, we should be aware that maybe it's not as much of a chiyuv as maybe you would have thought. Right, okay, shahad achak, right. And there's another point also, and this also is an interesting question. Let's say that you have like a tablecloth which you can clean very well or just put in the laundry and wash in the washing machine. Can you switch back and forth from meat to dairy, right? To use it once for meat and then once for dairy. So it seems he writes here in the Sefer Tzuv Mirabanan, and I saw this elsewhere also, that maybe, I'm sorry, he says even in the Sefer HaKashrut, which is one of the big books I think I brought last time, one of the good books on Kashrut, a little machmir at times, but it's one of the, you know, it's a classic modern-day Sefer. And he basically says also that some people say that it's okay to put it on a surface that's either easily cleanable, okay, meaning a table itself, maybe even a table itself. We don't usually do this, but a table itself that's like wooden or something else that's easily cleanable, or for a tablecloth that you can wash very easily. He says that some people are makel, you can use it for both. So again, a table is better to be machmir and just use your table straight only for meat or dairy and use a tablecloth for the other type. But you know, again, if it was necessary, you know, there may be room to make it on that if it's really clean. And with the tablecloth itself, you have one and you don't have the other one for whatever reason, and you put it in the washing machine, it comes out clean. So it seems like there's not so much of a reason why you couldn't do that. Again, the custom is to be machmir, the custom is to try to have two. But it seems like it's not, you know, it would be okay if you really wanted to, or if you wanted to switch it, certainly, from meat to dairy, so to wash it well, then put it on, it's totally clean, everything's gone. It was washed with boiling hot water, so it seems like maybe that would be fine. Okay? So that's what they point out here, which is very, very interesting. And good to know what the rules are, but again, there's a little bit of, I guess, a little bit of leeway room when you need it. Okay, great. So now, so we'll start the stuff about not bar not. This is where it gets a little bit trickier. Okay, let's see how this plays itself out. Okay, so the whole story of not bar not basically is the following. It's another basically issue of separation between meat and dairy. And the question here is basically we said that we're supposed to have separate dishes for meat and for dairy. The question is, what happens if you're eating food which is not meat and not dairy? It's parv, okay? Fish, an example there, noodles. Today, they didn't have noodles in times of Chazal. I don't know when they discovered noodles, sometime in the last 1,000 years. I don't know exactly. In Italy, wherever it's from. But the question is, if you make those dishes which are parv, can you make them in a meat or a dairy pot or use a meat or dairy plate and then still be able to eat it with the other type? Okay, meaning can you cook noodles in a meat pot, let's say, or put them on a meat plate? Or let's say the example of Shabbos. Okay, you have a Shabbos, you have a kugel, or whatever else you eat on Shabbos, or rice, or something, or noodles, and they were cooked in a meat pot, or they were put on a meat plate, and then you want to have them again on Sunday night with your dairy food on Sunday night. So is that okay? How far do we go here? What are the rules? So basically, this is where interesting discussion in the Gemara comes up about not bar not. All right. Here, we can read here in the, it's hard to see, but we can read here in the top right of the Tzuv Mirabanan Sefer. So they write here, not the top paragraph, but the second part where it says not bar not.
Mm-hmm.
It says not bar not is rashe tevo, no tain tam bar no tain tam. Okay, no tain tam, something that gives over taste or flavor, which is the bar no tain tam, which is like a second level, or the sun, literally the sun of a no tain tam. What does that mean? Kelomar ha-machal no tain tam of the kli, va-kli maflit tam l'tocha machal. Okay, what does that mean? That the food, okay, the food gives or creates or gives over a taste or a flavor into the utensil, and the utensil then basically takes that flavor out and puts it into the next food.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that mean? So basically, that's basically our case here. Okay, let's say you're talking about a meat pot or a dairy pot. What does that mean? It means the pot has been used in the past for meat. Okay, it's a pot you use to make chicken soup in. Okay, or a pot you used to cook chicken or turkey or something in. Okay, so that made a meat. That was 3 days ago, or that was this morning, right?
And now, it's washed.
Yeah, it's washed. It's clean. But now you want to use it again to cook something which is parv.
Because of the heat, probably.
Right, so that's the question. Did the taste that we assume, again, we didn't get to this so much yet, and we'll talk about it more in a little bit, in a couple of weeks maybe. But we assume that heat causes taste to be absorbed. Okay, that's the idea of what they call tam keifer, which we won't get to yet. But basically, you know, if heat causes taste to be absorbed, so if you cook something hot in the pot, then the pot, at least halachically and maybe physically or scientifically, it's unclear exactly how much this works, but definitely to some degree, it absorbs some of that taste. So that's what makes the pot a meat pot, okay, if you cooked chicken soup or chicken in the pot. Now you're cooking something which is parv in the pot. Do you say that the taste that was absorbed into the pot of the meat from this morning or from 3 days ago, does that now get sent out, I don't know what the word is, emitted or expelled, I don't know, whatever the word is in English, maslit, the word is in Hebrew, does that taste get out and absorbed now into the, what's in the pot now, which is parv? Basically, the question is, can you cook something which is parv in a meat pot and then later allow to eat it with dairy? Is it like, is that considered to be bisari, really bisari, or does it mean, you know, something, it doesn't mean, yeah, the question, what does that mean? Okay, so what's the rule? So basically, look at the paragraph here. It says, that's the question that we're talking about. Okay, can you use l'charchila, a dairy or meat pot or dish or whatever, to cook something which is parav in order to eat it with the other type, with either dairy or meat the other way? For example, okay, we said before, can you cook rice or noodles in a meat pot to eat it with a dairy dinner or a dairy meal? Okay, maybe the taste or the flavor of the meat is now absorbed into the noodles because it was cooked in that pot. Or on the other side, maybe you'll say, or maybe the taste is weak now because it got absorbed from the food into the pot, and then now it's from the pot back into a different food. Maybe the taste got, the flavor got too, it got weakened. It's chalash. So maybe you don't have to worry. Niklash, right, the word he uses here. Maybe you don't have to worry about it. So basically, the Gemara talks about this. Okay, in a slightly different case. The Gemara says, look at source number one. It says, Itmar dagim sha'alu bakara. Okay? So we have dagim here. We're talking about fish, sha'alu bakara. Okay, that were in some sort of pot. Okay, in the cases that we're talking about where it's bisari. Okay, it's a meat pot. So what's the halacha? Rav amar asur lachlam bekutach. Rav says that you're not allowed to eat it together with kutach. Kutach was some sort of dairy dish they had at the time of the Gemara. Okay, something interesting. I don't know exactly what it was made out of. It's some one of these concoctions that today we would think was disgusting. but I think it's like, you know, old moldy milk with some sort of other thing. And one of these things is crazy. Anyways, dairy. So Rav says you can't eat it together with that. Dish that were placed on a meat plate, you can't eat together with dairy. Shmuel says you're allowed to. What's the reason why? So Rav Amar Asur Noten Tam. Rav says it's Noten Tam, meaning the flavor of the meat that was in the pot last time now is getting into the fish. Okay, so of course you can't have fish, which are really meat, with dairy. And of course, you know, there's also a different question of having fish and meat together. It's also not okay, but that's a whole different issue, which is not for now. And that has nothing to do with Basar V'Challah. That's a different question, which has to do with health, which, you know, we don't really understand exactly, but that's not for now. So that's what Rav says. Rav says it's no same time. You can't have fish that's absorbed taste of meat eaten with dairy. You can't have them together. Shmuel says it's allowed. Why? No tain tam, bar no tain tam. He says that it's one taste, which is the sun, literally, or the product of another taste, meaning it's two levels down. You have one level that the taste of the meat went into the pot last time, and the second level, now it's absorbed back out of the pot into your fish. So once it's two levels, it's a weakened taste, and it's not a problem to have that together with dairy. What's the halacha about this machlokas? Amar Rav Chizkiya Mishum Abaye, Hilchas Hadagim Shalom Bekara Mutar Lachom Nekutach. The halacha is that in this case, we pass them like Shmuel. Okay, interestingly enough. That if you have this case of a fish inside a pot, or on a plate really, currently more as a bowl or a plate, so you're allowed to, if it was a meat or meat bowl or plate, you're still allowed to eat that fish together with dairy. Okay, that's the halacha. The question is, what are the parameters of this halacha? Meaning, what case are we referring to here, and how far does it go? And the question you'll see here in a second is the case in the Gemara was talking about a case where you put hot fish on a dairy plate. Okay, it's not talking about where you cook the fish in a meat plate. Sorry, it's not talking about where you cook the fish inside a dairy pot, a meat pot. Yeah, and let's say you cook the fish on the fire, you roasted it. Or you cooked it in a power pot, if you had such a thing, a power pot you cooked it in. And now,
say that if the fish was hot or not?
It's assumed that it was hot. Okay, it doesn't say it's straight up, but it's assumed. Mm-hmm. Okay, all these kind of discussions of the Gemara are always assuming that it's hot, unless they tell you that it's cold.
Okay.
That's why we're talking about notein tam. I mean, if it's cold, there's no absorption of taste. There's no notein tam from one thing to the next, because cold food doesn't really absorb the same way.
Yeah.
Okay, you can say just do an experiment. You see, you know, it has to hot. The heat causes, as you said, the heat causes the transfer. So that's why you say here that again, the halacha is that if it was on the plate, then you can eat it with dairy. But the question is, what if it's cooked? Okay, what if it's cooked in a meat pot. Is that the same thing as the discussion in the Gemara? Or maybe cooked in a meat pot is different? Okay, meaning maybe cooked, if it was cooked in a meat pot, maybe there's more reason to be machmir because the actual cooking, the bishul itself, is taking place with heat in that pot. So maybe there's more of a chance that the taste will get transferred from one from the pot into the food. Okay, then just if you put it on a plate. Okay, you cooked a pyre, and then you just put it on a plate. But it wasn't cooked on a plate. So maybe the tom of the plate, you know, the last time it had meat, is not strong enough to get into the fish when it wasn't actually cooked on the plate. So that's the question. All right, that's the question. And the answer is, as you see here, it's a machloket. Okay, it's a machloket rishonim, what to do in this case. So if you look at the rest of source number one, they're in Tosfot. So he says, he quotes Rashi from his son-in-law, the Rivan, who says, he says, the Gemara's case is only, okay, it's only when it went on a meat plate. Okay, that's the only time that we say it's permissible to eat it with dairy. But if you cooked it, right, if you cooked it in a meat pot, then it's a problem because that's considered to be one tom, meaning the tom that the transfer of taste there is much stronger. So that would be a problem, meaning you can still eat it, but you can't eat it together with dairy. Okay, that's opinion number one. And then in source number two here, if you look at the underlying parts of source number two, so then he says, So in source number two, they say the other way, that it's mutter. Okay, harashba v'haran, okay, he's skimu, now the parts not underlined. Divinit bas lushari, they say that if it's cooked in it, it's okay. They basically say that it is the same thing, okay? That even if you cook in a fish in a meat pot, it's still okay. Just the same way that if you put it on a meat plate, it's still okay. Why? Because it's two levels of taste. It goes in and then it comes out. The same thing as if you put it on a meat plate. No difference, which means you would be allowed to cook fish in a meat pot and then eat it with dairy afterwards. That would be halach according to that. And then the third opinion we're not going to go into so much now, the rush, perhaps there's a difference between cooking it and roasting it. Okay, if you roast it on something on something which is meat or dairy, then maybe that would be more problematic. And if you cook it, then maybe it would be okay. So that's the mahal machlok. If you look at the chart here on the second side, they sort of summarize the opinions for you here. You have basically the Rashi, the Rosh, and the Rambam, which I said the Rambam was Rosh on the Ran. Same idea, Rov Rishonim. Okay? So they say that if you look at the first case of Allah, it says first you have Dagim Bekar Basar, that's the case. Okay? So Allah basically is if it just went straight on the plate, so that, everybody agrees, Mutar L'Achwanim Chala, that's permissible to eat with dairy. Hit bashil and nitzlaz, again, what if it was cooked in a dairy pot or a meat pot where it was roasted in that? So that's the machloket. Rashi says, sure, you can't eat it with the other type. The Rosh says it depends if it's roasted or if it's cooked. And the Rambam and the other Rishonim say that it's mutter, the same thing. It's mutter. What's the halacha? Okay, what's the halacha? So the halacha is, you might know the halacha already, is that it's a machloket. Okay? The machloket is between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. This is how we know this. Take a look at source number five. Okay? He says here, "Dagim shebashlo shenitzlu." This is the Shulchan Aruch. Now the fish was cooked or roasted. The gedera shel basar chutzi yafe in a meat pot, and the meat pot was washed out well. It's clean. Okay, we're not talking about a dirty pot here. It's clean. She'ein shum shuman davukba mutar lachla mekutach. Okay, you're allowed to eat it together with dairy. Mishum davi noten tambar noten tam dehetera, because it's noten tambar noten tam. It's two levels, and they're all mutar, which we'll get back to in a second how that works. Then he points out, if it's dirty, then already you have a question. Then you have to evaluate, is it mixed up? Is it basar v'chalav? Is it batel v'shishim? All those kind of things. Okay. So we're going to assume that for most of our pots, we usually clean out, we usually wash our pots. And then this is the part you can't read. He says, Hagad, Ramah asks, v'yesh machmir b'tzliyo v'shal le'eser, notin tamar notin. Some people are machmir. If it's cooked or roasted in the pot or in something else like that, then it would be a problem. And he says, So the minhag the Ramah says is l'charchila that we don't eat that type of food together with dairy, but with yaved you're allowed to. Okay. So what does that mean? So basically, what it means according to the Ramah is that if you cook something para food in a meat pot, you can't eat it together with dairy l'charchila. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to. The Ramah says Ashkenazim are not allowed to. Sfaradim hold like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, you can cook something with a meat pot. Fish and the meat pot, or noodles and meat pot, eat it together with dairy. You're allowed to. The Ramah says you have to be machmir. Okay, that's what the Rama says, and he says that even the Rama says that even that the Diyavad you're still allowed to do it. Meaning, what does the Diyavad mean here? That's the question. I mean, lachachilam and you can't do. What does b'diavad mean? What's b'diavad? Just don't eat it.
Made a mistake.
Right. What's the mistake? I mean, what does that mean b'diavad? So you would say it means just, well, did you actually cook it? So you cooked it in a meat pot. Can I eat it with dairy? So is that, I mean, it's hard to say that's b'diavad because b'diavad, you can still just don't eat it with dairy, even if you cooked it in a meat pot. So just don't eat it with dairy. Why is that b'diavad? So what they actually say, what b'diavad means...
It's b'diavad for an Ashkenazi.
So could it...
That's probably not okay, but you can,
right.
You know...
So that's one way, right, that's one way to look at it. But I think what most of the postmen actually say here, what b'diavad actually means is something a little different. They actually say what b'diavad means is that it got mixed up, meaning you cooked it together, you cooked it, the fish or the noodles in a meat pot, and then afterwards you put cheese on. That was a mix-up. Not that you decided to eat it together, you actually made a mistake and mixed it with dairy. Once you mix it together with dairy, is it usher now? Is it like basar v'chalav? Can you not eat it? Or do we say no? You know, you weren't supposed to do it, but once you did it, you can eat it. So that's, I think, where most of the Achronim, the way they understand the Rama means that, and the Rishon that the Rama got this from, they say what it means is that it's permissible because, yeah, meaning if it was mixed up with dairy. If it wasn't mixed up with dairy, you have to wait and eat it, you know, by itself. You can't eat it together with dairy. But if it was mixed up with dairy, then you can eat it b'diavad, because the whole thing is a l'chachila. It's not a...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what they say here. So one or two more points, and we'll stop for tonight. Number one, you could ask yourself, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, this is the next point here. The Shulchan Aruch, what was the case in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara? Okay. Did they say you're allowed to cook something in a meat dish, a food in a meat dish, and then you're allowed to eat it with dairy? Is that what they said? Or did they say, okay, if you did it, then you're allowed to eat it with dairy. What's the difference? The difference is, can you do it with the intention that that's what you plan to do? I mean, is there a difference between saying that you did it already and then now you're going to eat it, basically, which is what you called b'diavad before, and I'm telling you that's not the Ramah case of b'diavad.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between that and a case where you cooked it, when the time when you cooked it you had in mind, I'm cooking it now in my, you know, I'm cooking for Shabbos my potatoes or my noodles or my kugel in my meat container, or a meat pan, or a meat pot, and then I already know I'm planning on using it during the week for Shabbat Shabbat, for my dairy, or for Sundays, for whatever.
Yeah.
Can you do that according to the Shulchan Aruch now? Not even according to the Ramah, according to the Shulchan Aruch. So you might think yes, but if you look at the Shach here, the Siftei Kohen, the Shach writes in the middle of the page there, okay, it's, that one, the one that's underlined, he says, not so fast. If you cook it in you cook it in a meat pot in order to eat it together with dairy, asr afila machaver v'siyato, not just according to the Ramah, but also according to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so you see, so now this was coming out here, and that's what each other holds. Was that?
For me, it was pretty clear that the Shulchan Aruch was lenient.
So again, the way, just look at the Lashon again, this is from the Gemara also. He says, okay, Dagam shinitz bashlu o shinitzlu b'kadeira shal basar v'chutza yafet. If the fish were cooked or roasted in the pot that was washed out well, it's not dirty, mutter l'ach l'makutach, you can eat it together with dairy. Okay, now what does he not say? What does the Gemara not say? They don't say you're allowed to cook it, the fish, in your meat pot with the intention of eating it afterwards with dairy. He doesn't say that. So the Shach is saying, based on that, and he's not the only one, a lot of people say this, and this is generally what we hold, the halacha, that the Shulchan Aruch case is only after it was already done. But if you had in mind when you were cooking it to do that, then he says you can't eat it together with dairy. That's not allowed. That's the same thing as something similar to what's called bitul usul l'charchila, which we're not going to get into now. You're not allowed to do something on purpose to make it get mixed up.
Yep.
So what comes out according to this, if you accept that, which is, again, what's usually accepted l'halacha, is that that according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch holds that the l'charchila, you can't cook something in a meat pot, which is parv, with the intention of eating it with dairy. But if it happened, meaning if you cooked it with the intention of eating it by itself or with meat, and then afterwards there was leftovers or something happened and you wanted to have it for this and that, then it would be okay. According to the Ramah, even in that case, even if that wasn't your intention when you cooked it, you still can't eat it together with dairy, right? You still have to wait, and you have to have it only together with meat. Because that's what the Ramah says. In the Ramah's case, the Ramah says the only time you could be mekel is not if you had, you know, not if it wasn't your intention, but it says if it gets mixed up. That's the Ramah's kula. If it actually got mixed up with cheese, you put cheese on by accident, you didn't realize or whatever. So in that case, maybe you could mekel, you could eat it. You know, and it's not usher to eat. But And that's what he says. The Yalkut Yosef in source number 6, he disagrees with the Shach. He says for Sfarim that it's okay. Look at the part that he underlines there. In the underlined part, he says, "Ach meidach matzim laharbe achron shekasu shadas maran lahatir af lechavchila." The kevush milsa drabban near shekin yish lipos ladina. He says he can make it. Okay.
What point in Sifrei Kohen?
Right.
Down there.
Right.
Puskim sfaradim lechuim the Rav Avadia matir.
Yeah. Yes. That's the notes here that they put in here. Basically, what they're saying is that the Shach understanding of the Shulchan Aruch is not necessarily the only opinion of how to read the Shulchan Aruch. And you know, if you follow the Sfarim, the Yosef Sfarim, Yalkut Yosef and Rav Avadia, based on what he's saying here, then it will be mutter. Okay. So basically, that's the story here. So if you read, you know, for Ashkenazim, it's clear that we don't hold like that. But for Sfarim, it seems like there are some that are make you. But there are some Sfarim that are machmir also.
Once
we skip here. Hold on 1 second.
Always
skip here. Yeah. Okay. If you look at the Ben Ish Chai in the source number 8 here, and the part right before that, so he says, "The gamla didanda azli and basar maranzal eino muter levashel lachachila hakdira shel basar bas yoma adaita dehachi." He says you can't do this lachachila with the intention of using it with dairy. You can't, only if it already was done. So that's just that he agrees with the Shach.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the Sfaradi poskim, it's a machlok as what to do. Some say yes and some say no. Meaning, can you have the intention of doing it l'chachila and cooking it that way? That's basically the story. Okay, fine. So we'll stop here for now. There's a bunch of other questions that come out of this that we didn't get to yet, but that's basically the basic point. The basic point of how this works we covered.